Right Honorable W.L. Mackenzie King, Prime Minister of Canada, speaking from Ottawa.
There is no home in Canada, no family, and no individual whose fortunes and freedom are not bound up in the present struggle.
This Remembrance Day, CITR presents At Home and Overseas. More than two dozen Vancouver actors recreate the personal stories of those who experienced firsthand what life was like in Canada during the Second World War. Wednesday, November 11th, from 6:30 to 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Or look for the podcast at citr.ca.
You're gonna hang out the washing on the Siegfried line. Have you any dirty washing, mother dear? We're gonna hang up the washing on the Siegfried line, 'cause the washing day is here. Whether the weather may be wet or fine, we'll just rub along.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives. It is Friday, the 16th of October, 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca. From our studios, underlooking the palatial student nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, well, we'll have a visit from the cast of Calendar Girls on stage soon at Surrey Little Theatre, plus a preview of The Dining Room with Western Gold Theatre's Anna Hagen and director Chelsea Haberlin. And another segment from At Home and Overseas, our Remembrance Day tribute to Canada in World War II, plus our usual rundown of what to see and where to go this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, let's kick things off with some new music. This is a local jazz and ballad kind of singer. She does a pretty good job around town, and she's got a new CD out. And this is a title track from it. This is Andrea Superstein and What Goes On.
What goes on here in my heart, dear? All this turning and yearning and tearing apart my heart, dear. I'm not strong, dear, but I'll get along. So take your fire, retire, and please don't break my heart. When you're gone, dear, I'll carry on, dear. All this sighing and crying keeping me down inside, dear. The sun is out, dear, my sky's about clear. So take your hands on romancing and please don't break my heart. You told me that you love me, but you couldn't really stay. You said, I'm just not mad about you. Well, let me tell you, baby, that's just not the way I play, and I'll be just fine without you. What goes on here in my heart, dear? All this singing and swinging is bringing a brand new start, dear. I'll take a walk, dear. I'm free as a bird, dear. I don't regret it, forget it. I found a brand new heart. Couldn't really stay, so I had to let you go. What goes on here in my heart, dear? All this singing and swinging is bringing a brand new start, dear. I'll take a walk, dear, 'cause I'm free as a bird, dear. I don't regret it, forget it, I found a brand new heart. I don't regret it, forget it, I found a brand new heart.
Andrea Superstein, and that's some pretty nice stuff there. Right now in the studio, I am surrounded by lovely ladies. the cast of Calendar Girls that's coming up on very soon, the beginning of November in Surrey. So, why don't, from my left, why don't you all please introduce yourselves?
I'm Halia, and I'm playing the role of Annie.
I'm Pat, and I'm playing the role of Jessie.
I'm Mary Ellen, and I'm playing the role of Celia.
I'm Carissa, and I'm playing the role of Cora.
And Carissa, you've been elected to be the main spokesperson for this group.
I don't know why.
So tell us about Calendar Girls. Now, this is something that it's not a new show, but it's relatively recent, and it's already been made into a film, and I think it played at the Stanley a couple of years ago, but this is a new production in Surrey. So tell us a little bit about the story of the play itself, what it's all about.
The story is based on a true story, mm-hmm. About a woman who lost her husband to leukemia, and she was in the WI, and she and her friends, based on a joke, did a nude calendar to raise funds for a settee or a sofa. And it ended up being such a huge success. It created one of the world's largest leukemia research wings in the world. They still do the calendars every year. They raise millions of pounds, British pounds. And it's just a formidable thing to be a part of this beautiful story and represent these ladies.
When did that first happen?
He died in 1998. The first calendar, I believe, was 99-2000.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to move into your mic.
Yes.
There you go.
All right.
There you are. That's better.
Okay.
Stage people.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So you're telling me about when this happened?
Yeah, 99, John died, and the first calendar, I believe, was 2000.
Mm-hmm. And they've been doing it every year since?
Every year since.
Wow.
It has a bit of a connection to Vancouver. There's a woman, Linda. She was the original Miss July. Her husband, Terry, was the original photographer. But Linda and Terry lived in Vancouver. And Terry was a photographer for one of the top ad agencies in Vancouver 8 years.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah. We all learned something. Now, the really kind of enticing thing about this show is that it's a nude calendar, but everybody is very strategically placed and framed,
yes,
so that everyone's modesty is left intact.
Yes, there's a lot of decorum left and a lot left to the imagination.
But it is challenging to be on stage, making sure that those angles and stuff are covered.
Absolutely, yeah. So you use like potted plants and cupcakes and sewing implements and
pianos.
Yeah.
Sheet music.
Buns.
Presents. Buns. Oranges. Teapots.
Now, but the play itself isn't just about the calendar. I mean, there is some drama going on as
There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of drama within each of our characters. I mean, Annie goes through her grief. I have a daughter who has run away, and I'm dealing with that and trying to find her dad at the same time.
Right.
So it's a big thing for me.
Yeah, and my character, Celia, she's moved to Yorkshire to be with her husband. He's never mentioned or anything, but we're assuming he's retired. And he's taken up golf, and she's not too happy about that.
Oh, yeah. He's never around. He's out in the,
exactly,
the links, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what about you two?
Well, my character, Jessie, is the oldest of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
We call them girls. I don't know why.
It's in the title.
Yes, I know. There you go. And Jessie's dilemma is one that any woman 50 and older will recognize, and that is invisibility.
Yeah.
And her push is to become visible. And so all of her speeches and all of her, everything she does is to be visible, which is a different sort of place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be a very interesting arc to travel through the play all by itself. Yeah.
Yeah, and as I am invisible, I do know how to do this.
Yeah. So you're working from source.
Yes, absolutely, typecast.
And Annie's one of our key players.
Annie's character has lost her husband to cancer, but in the process she feels like she's also perhaps losing her best friend, Chris, who gets swept in all the fame and notoriety of this calendar. But the remarkable thing is that all the characters are so different, but so strongly connected through the WI and their little projects and their little conspiracies against Marie, who's the evil.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a villain.
Yes.
So, I mean, we all face adversity of different kinds in the play, but it's how we bring each other through and we poke each other along the way.
Yeah.
We're very, you know, sarcastic and snippy, but it's all with love.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, tell us, speaking, you brought up the Marie, the villain. What exactly about her makes her the villain?
Well, she's kind of the one in charge.
Yeah.
And she likes to think that RWI, or the WI that they're in,
which is like the Women's Institute.
Okay. Yeah. She wants it to be all, you know, posh and have all these wonderful projects and do all these wonderful things. And we're just basically there to hang out with each other and drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how we kind of deal with her. When she's wanting to have all these wonderful things, we just go like, yeah, okay, fine, and ignore her and go about our own ways and make fun of her and laugh.
Yeah. So that's, it's not like any kind of life-threatening kind of thing.
Oh,
no.
Sanity-threatening, perhaps.
Yeah, that's important in itself.
Yes, yes.
All right, so you're at the Surrey Little Theater,
yes,
which is a lovely little theater in the middle of...
nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere, yeah. Where exactly is it?
184th and Fraser Highway, basically.
Mm-hmm. So just about in Langley.
Yeah.
Just about. Yep.
Yeah.
And there are only 79 seats in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very intimate. There isn't really a bad
There's
seat.
There's not a bad seat in the house at all. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very quaint. It's very intimate.
Very intimate, which is lovely to be performing in that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of places to hide when you're doing a show about
nudity.
No. Which is, again, why I said the angles and stuff are a bit difficult. We've had to look at that really carefully.
Yeah.
And you have to be totally aware of it while you're on stage, still being in character, still saying your lines, still doing everything you have to do, but making sure that you're not flashing anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Oh,
in
yeah.
itself.
It
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific.
And we all cover up for each other's shortcomings.
All right, we'll just
or
let
not.
Let or not.
Okay, so it starts pretty soon, November 1st.
We open, actually, our preview night is October 22nd.
Ah, okay.
But
I'm looking at the wrong numbers.
There. That's okay.
It's on your little card.
It's on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the 22nd and the 23rd is sold out.
Wow.
There's actually several dates that are sold out, mm-hmm. so come and see us, but buy your tickets now and not wait, because you may not get a chance to come see us.
Okay. Yeah. And you get them at surreylittletheatre.com.
It'll take you to a link.
Brown paper tickets.
Oh, brown paper. Okay.
Yeah
that's easy.
Yeah.
So just go to brown paper and type in Calendar Girls in Surrey and it'll take you there.
It'll bring us.
Yeah.
$15. That's easy.
Yeah, it's very reasonable.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Marvelous. Yeah. Hope you have a great run.
Okay. Thank you.
We're really looking forward to it. Thank you.
In the 2009 BC provincial election, the Delta South riding was won by a margin of 32 votes. In a 1999 Nova Scotian election, the Shelburne district was won by a margin of one vote. One vote. One person was the difference, so go tell them that your vote doesn't matter. On October 19th, get out and vote. It's one small action that can make all the difference. Visit elections.ca to register and for more information. CITR and Stomp Records proudly present The Real Mackenzies live at the Rickshaw, Friday, November 13th. With extra special guests, The Brains, The Isotopes, Lost Kung Fu Monkeys, and Rude City Riot. Come celebrate Stomp Records' 20th anniversary in style with good music, good friends, and great times. Hit up stomprecords.com for more info, music, and swag.
Do you fancy yourself as an artist, entertainer, or storyteller? Do you want to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio or Christopher Nolan? Well, the UBC Players Club would like to work with you. The Players Club is an ambitious amateur theater group and the perfect place to get involved in theater or gain more experience as an actor, director, designer, producer, or anything and everything else theater related. Our motto, Theater on Your Own Terms, means the club is entirely student-run and formed around the ambitions of its members. Find us on Facebook or at ubcplayersclub.com.
Let's take a look now at the call board, see what's going on in terms of auditions, calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for all roles. That being said, let's go to it. Fighting Chance Productions is their next production is in February. It's Cats. Was it Andrew Lloyd Webber, T.S. Eliot thing? And that is going to be happening in February and March. The auditions are on Saturday, the 31st of October. They're looking for talented dancers and movers who can also sing, especially interested in seeing anyone with special talents. If you know gymnastics or tap or tumbling, any kind of really interesting movement stuff, they want to see you. And Fighting Chance likes to cast every show with at least 50% new people. So every production is a showcase for new talent. So if you've never done a Fighting Chance production before, now's your chance. You can send your email, you can email your headshot and resume to auditions at fightingchanceproductions.ca. John Dickinson, formerly of the UBC Players Club that we just heard from. He's got a company called, or he's part of a company called Tomosuro Productions. They're doing the Laramie Project, the Moises Kaufman play about the aftermath of the Matthew Shepard tragedy. That's going to be happening in March, and the auditions are in about a week, October 22nd, 23rd, 24th, at SFU Waterfront Center. They've got most of their cast, but they're still looking for two women and one man, and it's a wide range of ages because everybody in the production plays multiple characters of a variety of ages and social and economic stature and that kind of thing. So check it out, two women, one man, and that's the Laramie Project. Metro Theatre is doing Over the River and Through the Woods by Joe DiPietro, and that's happening in January. Their auditions are over. Moving on. Vagabond Players in New Westminster. That one's over too. I thought I updated this. Oh, my goodness me. Let's see. We've got Sidekick Players, Les Belles Sœurs by Michel Tremblay, and that's happening in Tsawwassen. Auditions are the 18th and 20th at the Tsawwassen Arts Center. The production is happening in January and February. North Van Community Players doing the 39 Steps in February, and their auditions are at Hendry Hall in October 25th and 27th. Surrey Little Theatre, funny little thing called Love, and that is happening in January and February at Surrey Little Theatre, and their auditions are the 26th and 27th of October. This is the Metro one I wanted to tell you about. This is five women wearing the same dress. The auditions are in November. The production is happening February 20th to March 12th, looking for five men and one man from 20s to 30s. And the ability to deliver a consistent and believable Southern accent will be a definite asset. Oh, yeah. Highland United Productions at the United Church in North Vancouver doing Fiddler on the Roof. And their show is going on in March. The auditions are in November. And this is for anybody. It's an open audition. All parts are available. If you know some Russian dancing, that would be an advantage. But otherwise, go out and check that one out. And then the last one is an Agatha Christie play that's happening in April at Metro Theater. Their auditions are in December. It's called Towards Cyril, so keep an eye out for that one. If you want details on these or other audition notices, you go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. Let's hear some more music now. This is a friend of the show who was very gracious in sending her CD to us a while ago. We play her once in a while. She's from Vancouver Island. Her name is Charlotte Rinch.
Blue sweater and you. walking down the street. Come get your fill, if you will. Why did you lick my spoon? Let's chase the afternoon. I'll go back to staring at them trees. I don't need anything else on this warm sunny day but my bike, your blue sweater, and you. All by myself, but you were right by my side. The moment I started to cry, that's why I don't need anything else on this warm sunny day but my bike, your blue sweater, and you.
That's Leah Barley from a four-song EP called Close Your Eyes, and the song's called Sunday Fun Day. Time now to talk about, what are we going to do now? Oh, yes, yes, here we are. The Dining Room. This is the latest play from Western Gold Theater, who we have featured a couple of times on this show. Western Gold is a theater company based out of the Performing Arts Lodge in Cole Harbour in Vancouver. It's run by artistic director Anna Hagen, and it's there to provide some theater work for actors who may have maybe of a certain age that aren't able to do as much work as they used to, but are still vibrant and lively and in the game, as they say. And they've combined with some younger artists this time around to do a production of The Dining Room by A.R. Gurney, directed by Chelsea Haberlin, who is also a good friend of the show. So earlier this week, I sat down with Chelsea and Anna, and we talked about The Dining Room. I think the first answer is coming from Anna Hagen.
The Dining Room, and it takes place in the dining room. And the thing that attracted me to this piece was I had the person that I knew could direct it, but specifically the piece is about generations of families, and Western Gold Theater, as you know, is older senior actors and younger people. So I thought, okay, if we can work our mandate in and have 50% three actors, senior actors, and three younger actors, I'm going to pitch this to Chelsea because I had seen her work before and I thought, if anyone can do it, she can. So I asked her and and she's cast it and it's wonderful.
As you say, it spans several generations.
Yes, it does.
But you only have six actors, so they play a lot of different parts.
They play something like 57 characters, Chelsea? Yeah, it goes from 1912 approximately, although they refer to earlier times. Mm-hmm. And the dining room is like a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chelsea, why did you choose to take the challenge?
Because it really is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Having each character or having each actor play that many characters is insane. They play almost 10 characters each, and very often a character will leave stage as a 5-year-old and reemerge as an 80-year-old, and that's a real challenge. I also had the idea to stage it in a particular way that was really of interest to me. So we're setting the whole thing in a museum, and all of the actors are people that have arrived at the museum to look at the dining room, to study this historic piece. And then they get the decision to jump on stage and start telling the stories of the dining room. And so there's kind of this organic flow that occurs the whole time. And that's really exciting to me. I love that. I really like ensemble pieces. And so I really kind of wanted to lean into that idea of let's just see these people come up with the ideas and then tell the stories and then become someone else.
Yeah. Sorry, I just... I wanted to sort of expand on that a little bit about you know the actors and the characters and the experience for the audience. And you said that sometimes a person will play a 5-year-old and then that same person at 80. Are there other kind of similarities in some of the characters they play so the audience can follow along?
Similarities in what way?
Well, like are they playing like you know the father of one generation then becomes the father of another generation or that kind of thing or?
Well, the stories aren't actually there's only one set of characters that returns. There's a maid that you see at the beginning that you see again at the end. Besides that, none of the characters are connected in any way. It's seemingly all different dining rooms. So they're set in different places. It's mostly northeastern United States. But, we're in the set. Those are the sounds of the dining room. That's what we've been listening to nonstop for 2 weeks. It's dishes. No, it's okay. I wish the audience could see our SMs running around. No, there aren't necessarily connections like that. But the thing that there is that every actor plays a variety of ages and a variety of sort of characters from socioeconomic statuses, and they play maids and they play rich people. So there's a big variety there in that way.
Yeah. Are they telling different stories as they go through? So what are some of the stories that are being told?
Yeah, the stories are quite varied, and they're in very different styles, which is interesting. There's one scene about a man whose brother has been insulted down at the club because he was called gay publicly, and the dad needs to go down there and defend his brother's honor. And that's kind of a very quick, very comedic, very stylized scene about the upper class defending their way of life, you know, defending their family. So there's, you know, it ranges from that to a father having a very serious conversation with his son about what he wants his funeral to look like, to a sort of sillier scene between two teenagers kind of mocking the dining room. So it's very different depending on the scene. And it really is from scene to scene, you're laughing and you're crying, like from minute to minute. The scenes are quite short. They're really from, you know, 5 to 10 minutes per scene. Mm-hmm. They're quite brief. Yeah. And you're just sort of thrust into these different periods and these different interpretations of what this room means.
So I want to come back to you, Anna. The notes here, one thing that struck me on the ad card was about conversations and sort of the way society has moved to the idea that we don't have a place where the family gathers to have a conversation.
No, it's very true, and I think this probably happened. There's no middle class anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and the middle class was usually where the mother stayed at home and everyone ate around the table. But who lives that way anymore? Who can afford to? Mom and dad both have jobs, and the kid goes to nursery school or goes to school, and then they come home, and they really don't have time to sit around the dining room table. And I sort of feel pushed and pulled, because I remember, because I'm a senior, I remember my grandmother, we would all sit around a dining room table. In fact, my mother was always home. Every day I came home after school. And we always had roast beef every Sunday around a dining room table. And we were very, very working class. But this is the WASP culture, as Chelsea said. And I think it's interesting to look at it, even though the younger people in the company probably look at this and think, oh my God, you know, who would want all these dishes and a maid? I mean, that's no go nowadays. But in those days, they had maids. They lived in these houses and they had all these dishes and they needed someone to help them. Mm-hmm. So it's fast. It's historical.
Yeah.
It's historical. And Gurney wrote about it. He's a good writer, and it's just a treat for any actor to play all these characters.
And it's a relatively recent play. It was written in the early
80s.
In the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, it was the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not a parody, but it's his comment on the WASP. He's showing that there's some aspects of it that are really quite interesting and others that forget it. Forget it. Just get rid of it.
Time to let it go.
Time to let it go.
Yeah.
Sure. I just want to comment on something that Anna said, because I think it's interesting. She said, I think the younger people in the cast probably don't get it. Like, we don't get it. And it's been very interesting for me to be like, why are they talking about the maids this way? This is not okay. And for Anna to explain, like, but they required that help and they were providing jobs for these people. And I, like, I'm looking at it from a millennial perspective. I'm horrified by so many things that occur in this play. But and so, and I think that Gurney's done a really nice job of not saying that the things that happened in these households were okay. He is saying, look at the way that fathers treated their children. This was unacceptable. And look at the way that, that women were treated in the home. And look at the way that we valued things over human beings. And I think that he is reflecting on that and saying there's a lot there that we can do away with. But there is the family love and there is the coming together around the table. And there is that conversation and communion that we should keep, you know. And I'm really trying in the interpretation of this story to be honest about the things that I think are just terrible and the things that, that I think we should, that we should retain.
Well, actually, it's an interesting question. How do we retain those things that are important to hang on to that, that seem to be slipping away?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they are, like, but my personal experience is that I grew up around a kitchen table. We had a kitchen table. We would sit there and we would have our dinner together every night. But there were no particular rules in the way that you see in this play. You didn't have to use your forks and knives from the outside in. You didn't have multiple different plates. You would just sit down, you'd slop something in, and you'd have an animated conversation with your elbows on the table. And we did that every single night. And to me, there's as much value in that as there is in rules and etiquette and proper way of being. And and I think you see in this play that, that he's saying, I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but there are some parts in the show where you really see him saying, what about this matters and what about this doesn't? And I think that families are still finding a way to live in a way that 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 matters, that, that holds on to the things that are meaningful. You know, like my husband and I, we sit around our little half table that's shoved into our bedroom apartment and we eat out of bowls, but we're coming together, we're having a conversation, and we are still a family. So I think it's different now, but I don't think it's worse.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I think it's better. Yeah. But that's because I was born in 84.
Well, I think just the matter, the fact that we are social creatures and that, whatever our circumstances, we will find a way to make those connections.
We will, and it will always feel right to come together. It will always feel good to come together.
Yeah, and now we come together in the social media and a lot of other digital stuff, you know? Yeah. So although people say, oh, my God, in my generation, I can't stand it. Everywhere you go, people are on their phones. Well, thank God. We have a break in the rehearsal hall, and we talk, and then we go to our phones to check our messages, and that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, we're still connecting.
We're still connecting. I also happen to think that food is a major thing in our lives, food and sex. I mean, those are primary concerns. And if you can share food with your loved ones, that's important. That's really important.
It's an important ritual.
Absolutely. So this cast, though, is great. As I said, there's three oldies, right? And the three
and
younger,
one of them,
I'm definitely one of them. I'm exhausted. I'm going home to bed right now. Not really. But it's really interesting because it's a symbiotic thing, you know? Yeah. I'm certainly learning from them. And we know certain things that they weren't born to. They hadn't been born.
Yeah.
So
it's a very interesting cast, too, because everyone comes from a different culture. It's very interesting.
Yes.
So there are three older people and three younger people and then a younger director. And but then also in the cast, there's Alan, who grew up in Mexico, and Adele, who grew up in India, and Kate, who grew up partially in upper class London and partially in sort of middle class Canada. And John, who grew up in kind of lower London, like lower class London. Yeah. I don't know exactly where he's from, but that's he has kind of an accent that reflects that.
Yeah.
I don't know where Keith is from.
Keith is from BC.
BC, yeah.
But our stage management, we've got a wonderful stage manager and at ASM, and she grew up in Singapore.
Oh,
So it's really an ethnic mix, which I personally, as the artistic director, as long as I'm here, I really want to go into that area. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the kind of material that will appeal to older people. I want to bring the ethnic flavor into our company.
Yeah.
So Chelsea has done this.
And the thing that's so interesting is that it is about WASP culture, but Adele, who's from India, and Alan, who's from Mexico, they have a way better understanding of this upper class way of being than I do, as someone who I look more like I'm from a WASP family, but I don't get any of this. And they come from very upper class families who understand this stuff entirely. Yeah. They really get it. And that's been really interesting to me, to understand that no matter where you are in the world, there are certain things that you get, you know? There are certain things you can bring in. So I think the conversations in the room have been very interesting.
Yeah. It might even be more so because of where they're from. Those class structures were exported and carried on in the colonial realms, where they sort of disappeared in the home country.
So that's been pretty interesting to see everyone come together. And also everyone, in terms of their theatrical background, comes from a different place. Like, I think very often you see a show and everyone's sort of gone to the same school. And you can tell. Everyone here has a different background as an artist and kind of a different thing that they bring in through. So that's really interesting as a director, in terms of trying to find the commonalities and have us all live in the same world, but then also respect the differences that everyone brings.
Yeah.
So it's been...
It's happened in the second week. We're at the end of our second week of rehearsal, and we have one more in the room, which is not usual, I don't think.
There's an extra week.
Yeah, we have an extra week. So the first week is always like you don't really coalesce, if you will. But the second week, it's like we're really getting to know.
Wasn't expecting that little fade out there, but that's Anna Hagen and Chelsea Haberlin, and they are Chelsea's directing, and Anna is appearing in the dining room, which is going to be at the Palace Studio Theater, 581 Cardero Street in Cole Harbor, right next to the West End Bayshore. And it opens next week. Preview on Thursday, opening night Friday at 7:30. Tickets are available at Brown Paper Tickets. It runs until the 1st, I think, of November. Where are you? There you are. 8th. The 8th of November. There's matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. So, as I said, if you want more information, you go to Brown Paper Tickets or westerngoldtheater.org. So let's take a look now at what else is going on around town. The It Girl musical is closing this weekend. They've got two shows left, Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock. And that's at Studio 1398 on Granville Island. That's the one based on the Clara Bow movie from 1927. And Presentation House, there's an event called I Wish, which is a co-production of Presentation House and Teatro Elsinore from Italy. And this is part of the Boomerang Documents of Poverty and Hope program. It's an international project that gives young people the chance to express their views on migration and poverty on the stage and on the web. And there's three times for that. It's happening tonight at 7, and then tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock each time. And that's at Presentation House in North Van. At Metro Theatre in Marple, Royal Canadian Theatre Company is doing Dracula by Bram Stoker. This is the original 1927 play that made Bela Lugosi a star, but they're doing it in a steampunk version. Why not? Why not? Everyone else is doing steampunk. Let's do the Dracula steampunk. 8 o'clock at Metro tonight and tomorrow. At the York Theatre, a really wild-looking acrobatic team from Australia called A Simple Space. They have a show tonight at 7, and then tomorrow afternoon at 2, and Sunday at 2. Also, the Vancouver East Cultural Center Culture Lab is continuing with Empire of the Sun, and they have three shows this weekend, one tonight and two tomorrow at 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Jericho Arts Center is continuing with A Doll's House, a really, really good production of A Doll's House by Henrik Ibsen, directed by Tamara McCarthy. And they've got four shows this weekend, two matinees tomorrow and Sunday, and then evening shows tonight and tomorrow. Pacific Theater, Smoke on the Mountain, another great show. We had them in last week playing Pickin' and Grinnin' for us, directed by Sarah Rogers. That's at Pacific Theater at 12th and Hemlock. They've got shows tonight and two shows tomorrow. And then Spectral Theater is doing their October series of late night double feature. They're usually just one night a month, but because it's Halloween coming up, they're every Friday night at 9 o'clock at Skinny Fat Jack's in the back alley behind Slickety Jim's. At the Havana Theater, Little Basket Theater is doing Slacks, a live sitcom with a friend of the show, Taylor Stutchbury. This is a sitcom about two roommates, Jackie, a playwright, and her friend Taylor, who was an unemployed actor, and the roommates' differences prove to be problematic. Three episodes are shown each night. There's one tonight and one tomorrow. Show tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Havana Theater. Then we've got some stuff going on at the Reel. This should be pretty good. Tonight is a ski and snowboard movie called Paradise Waits. Two shows tonight, 6:30 and 9 o'clock. The midnight show at the Rio is the Rocky Horror Picture Show with live shadow cast by the Geekenders. Tomorrow and Sunday at 3 o'clock, This Changes Everything. This is the documentary about Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine book. And then tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Rio, Not the Bees, a burlesque tribute to the acting of Nicolas Cage. Another Geekenders burlesque event. And this is their most zany off-the-wall variety show yet. It's gonna be weird. And then to top things off, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, This Is Your Day, the Vancouver premiere of a documentary about three unique individuals in one of the most storied 100-mile races in the world, the Western States Endurance Run. That's Sunday at 7 o'clock at the Rio. And then at the Van City Theater this weekend, it's the big release of Ed Weird, a film by Kyle Rideout, local director, local actors. It's a psychological drama centering around the world of the famous turn-of-the-century photographer Ed Weird Maybridge. Now, this is the guy who did a lot of study-in-motion kind of stuff. He photographed horses running and men wrestling and just to study people's movements. And he basically invented modern cinema. Kyle Rideout has done such an amazing job on this biopic about a man who was more than just that. He's also known as a man who murdered his wife's lover and was the last American to receive a justifiable homicide defense. So there you go. Two reasons to go see that one. It's playing at the Van City on Seymour Street tonight at 6:10, tomorrow at 6:10, and then two shows Sunday, 3 o'clock and 7:50. So there you go. Here's your look at stuff to do this weekend. All kinds of cool things going on. And so we're going to take a quick break right now. Let me just see what I need to tell you. And then we'll wrap things up. So we'll be right back.
The Canadian federal election is coming up on October 19th. It's important that you get registered in order to vote. To register, or check if you're already registered, you can visit the Elections Canada website at www.elections.ca. We also have lots of information for voters, including necessary ID, writing information, and the location of Elections Canada offices. If you're registered, you should receive a voter information card by mail telling you when and where to vote. You can also use the online voter information service. You can vote on election day at your designated polling station, on advanced polling days between October 9th and October 12th, at any Elections Canada office, or by mail. Elections Canada offices are now open 7 days a week. To vote by mail, you need to apply by October 13th, online, by mail, or at any Elections Canada office. Remember, get informed, register, and vote by October 19th.
When Shanna Larson was a little girl, she already had artistic talent, and it was clear that she would be quite an athlete. But Shan always knew what she wanted to do with her life. She wanted to teach. Shan was only 24 years old when she lost her life to breast cancer, and now it's her spirit that will teach us. Teach us to know the facts. For more information, visit teamshan.ca. Breast cancer, not just a disease of older women.
On Remembrance Day, Wednesday, November 11th, we're going to do a special tribute to Canada in World War II. It's called At Home and Overseas. It's a dramatization of a book called 6 War Years, Canada in 1939 to 1945. We've gathered about a couple of dozen actors to come in and read stories from this book. And so as a little quick sneak peek, we're going to let you in on one of the stories. This is called Going to Jerusalem.
Why should I join up? Get myself killed off by some German guy who didn't want to be in the war either and didn't know me like I didn't know him or vice versa? You get what I mean? Except for one thing. I'm Jewish. And while my old man didn't want me to go, to join up, like, you know, why don't I go to the University of Toronto, be a doctor or a lawyer or something, but keep out of the whole business. But my mother, she's a battleship, that woman. She wouldn't hear of it. Yisr's going to go when his time comes, and when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to the Western Wall, and he's going to take out his psalm book, and he's going to read the 83rd Psalm. Mom sort of had the war all twisted up in her mind, you know. She'd read the headlines about the British 8th Army fighting near Cairo, and she'd look at a map, and holy smokes, that's only 2 inches from Jerusalem. 2 inches on the map, like maybe 250 miles. One son of hers is going to pray at the wall, you bet your life. So, while the old man is against it, there's Mom practically pushing me out the door on my 18th birthday down to the recruiting station. Join the army, my boy, she says, and you'll get there faster. Look, look where they were on the front page of the Star last night, not that far from Jerusalem. It doesn't fit her thinking that the whole idea of the 8th Army is to get far away from Cairo, over to the west, as far away from Jerusalem as it can. She was one woman with tunnel vision. I join up. So, a year in Canada, 4 months in England, then France, Germany, and home again. About 2.5 years. Home, and my folks meet me at Union Station. Brothers, sisters, brother-in-law, you know, their kids, cousins. Real big Jewish reunion right in the center of the station. God, when I think of it. Mom gets to me first, and I get hugs and kisses, and everybody is around, and finally she says, Yisr, did you use the book? I ask, what book? The Book of Psalms I gave you on your last leave. Then it hits me. The Western Wall, Jerusalem, the 122nd Psalm, the 83rd Psalm, standing up there with all those old men crying and weeping, the kind of Jew I just don't like. I tell her, Mom, I didn't get to Jerusalem. I didn't get anywhere near it. Our army wasn't going that way. We turned right instead of turning left. That was the wrong thing to say, making fun of something like that. She stops me cold with that look in her eyes. And she's a little woman, but solid steel. And she says one word. She says, Schlepper. Just Schlepper. That's what I am. A Schlepper. For Mom, I don't fight the war for democracy in Canada. I fight it to go to Jerusalem so she can tell the neighborhood women, Hadassah, Mrs. Moser down the street, and all the rest about her son, Isser. The crazy thing is, later when she'd calmed down, I told her I was sorry that my war career hadn't worked out the way she wanted it, and she came up with a beautiful line. She said, "Isser, you just didn't try hard enough."
And that show, once again, will be on Wednesday morning, Remembrance Day, November 11th, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And if you'd miss it, then we'll just put it out on podcast. It's that easy. Now, before I go, I want to say something about this election coming up on Monday. Maybe you've already heard, you've already tired of hearing all about it with the negative ads and the strategic voting and the ABC and the barbaric cultural practices, and we're all going to die. But I just want to say one thing. Vote. We're Canadians, and we're allowed to vote, so we should. I don't care who you vote for. I just care that you go out and do it. And don't go alone. Bring some friends or neighbors. Make an event of it. And do it early, because there's going to be lineups. Remember your ID and do it, because we're allowed to. And lots of people in this world aren't. And that's our show. Thanks a lot for spending your lunch hour with us. Special thanks to our guests, Carissa Gagne and the cast from Calendar Girls, and Anna Hagen and Chelsea Haberlin from Western Gold Theater's The Dining Room. Thunderbird Sports is back on CITR. We got two games this weekend. Men's hockey tonight at 7 o'clock versus Calgary. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, football against University of Alberta. Both games will be heard right here, 101.9 FM, or streaming on CITR.ca. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send us your details at DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. If you missed any of or all of today's show and you want to relive your glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Stick around. Eleanor and Erica are here with Femme Concept, and don't forget Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.
Registered in order to vote.
Georgia.
To register, or check if you're already registered, you can visit the Elections Canada website at www.elections.ca. We also have lots of information for voters, including necessary ID, writing information, and the location of Elections Canada offices. If you're registered, you should receive a voter information card by mail telling you when and where to vote. You can also use the online voter information service. You can vote on election day at your designated polling station, on advanced polling days between October 9th and October 12th, at any Elections Canada office, or by mail. Elections Canada offices are now open 7 days a week. To vote by mail, you need to apply by October 13th, online, by mail, or at any Elections Canada office. Remember, get informed, register, and vote by October 19th.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Explore music that spans Eric Satie's Musique d'Embaumont to Lawrence English's dense electronic drones and nomadic streams, Vancouver New Music's 2015 Festival of Ambient Music. Nomadic Streams runs from October 22nd to 24th. For more information, visit newmusic.org.
She makes movies where she cries on cue.